Employment law allows for an employee to get remedies in a successful personal grievance claim. One of the key remedies is for compensation for what we call hurt and humiliation. Did you know that the compensation amounts have actually increased recently? And we've seen cases to show that this has been well and truly adopted. If you want to know how this could impact your business, then what are you waiting for? Let's dive straight into it now. Hi everyone, welcome back to Lawlands. My name is Sunam and thank you so much for tuning in today. We are talking about remedies today, and specifically I wanted to focus on just compensation. Compensation is one of those big questions that always comes up if you're an employment lawyer, HR professional dealing with key stakeholders. You may have been asked, what do I need to pay? What do I need to pay to settle this matter? And I used to get this question time and time again. Either it comes from an employee saying, what will I get? Or it comes from an employer or a HR professional saying, what will we need to pay? Or some people saying, what do I need to pay to make this go away? So it doesn't matter who you are, the question is always at the tip of the tongue. The question is always there, front of mind, when you're dealing with these personal grievance claims. But before we get into it, I just wanted to say, if you are tuning in for the first time, then welcome. And if you have been here before, then I am so glad that you are back again. Please remember everyone to like, subscribe, and to go over onto my LinkedIn and give me a follow so you don't miss out on any key insights. I post there very regularly with updates about employment law as well as bits and pieces of legislation that are not really commonly known. So definitely keep an eye out for my posts there. Now, back onto it. Look, with the compensation amounts, it's very interesting. So compensation is generally viewed as a tax-free amount, and for a very long time, the compensation amount would be based on what we've seen time and time again in cases. I remember for me, back in the day when I first got into employment law, we're probably talking about 2017, 2018, that time we were settling matters for maybe about $5,000. That is not the case anymore at all. I have progressively seen it change and go up and up. And maybe you're looking at $5,000 here and there if you've settled it outside of the authority or outside of the courts, but still it's very rare. But in 2018, things became a bit more concrete when the employment court set out a three-tiered or banded approach. So they call it bands, meaning in the first, second, and third band, the compensation amount is set out in a particular range, and then it will increase depending on the severity of the harm and humiliation and the hurt or the injury to feelings towards that particular employee. We'll get straight into it in terms of what a remedy actually is so that it's very clear and easy to understand. Now, there are a lot of remedies available at the employment relations authorities or the court level. We're talking about things like interim reinstatement or even reimbursement or just reinstatement in general. We're looking at compensation and even compliance. For example, compliance would be sticking to maybe the terms of the employment agreement or the employer being made to comply with the legislation to pay their employees. So you can see that there's different avenues for the employee to go down and seek a remedy. But one of the key remedies, which we should never forget, is compensation. Because under Section 123(1)(c)(i) of the Employment Relations Act, there is very clear guidelines that an employee can seek compensation as a remedy. And the remedy is usually because they have suffered a damage such as humiliation, loss of dignity, and injury to feelings. And this can come in various forms of harm or damage to the employee. So, you know, you're looking at paying damages. But in this sense, damage, compensation, sometimes it's thrown out interchangeably. Generally, what we mean is compensation under that part of the Employment Relations Act. Again, like I said in the beginning, it can be called hurt and humiliation because it's a very long-winded thing to say humiliation, loss of dignity, and injury to feelings. So sometimes we just call it hurt and humiliation. Now, outside of the courts, keep in mind that an employer can reach a settlement with an employee. And this is usually done where there's a payment based on that Section 123. And the compensation amount is usually a tax-free amount that's paid as either a lump sum or you can come up with a payment plan depending on what the parties agree to pay that employee any amount. Damages must be supported. So where you're looking at a case of damage, you need to be able to support that with evidence, and the employee needs to establish that they were actually unjustifiably dismissed or that they were disadvantaged. So it isn't just a matter of you're dealing with this case and here you go. You do need to be able to prove it. In terms of proving it, we'll get into a little bit about what is required by the courts or where the bans sit. And I wanted to just take us back to the first time we saw this approach around compensation in terms of this banned or tiered approach. Now, around 2018, the Employment Court established three quote unquote bans to guide the setting of compensation. So the first ban was for low level damage or injury that could be awarded up to $10,000. Second ban, we're looking at mid-level damage or injury, that's $10,000 to $40,000. And then the third level of damage or the third ban, that is $40,000 and above. There were a couple of cases that set this out in around 2018. The first ones that we're going to look at where this really was set out was in Rechora Group Limited and Cheng. The employee in this case was actually constructively dismissed by just being locked out of the workplace without explanation. So the employee was locked out, and because this was done to them, the action actually led to severe mental and physical health issues for the employee. And this really fell within band three. Unfortunately, though, in this case, what the employee did was they had actually requested or they had sought $20,000 in compensation, so the court could only award them what they had requested. But otherwise, it was made very clear that this would have fallen into that third band, meaning that this employee would have received $40,000 or above. We're talking about severe mental and physical health issues for this particular employee. So that's where we can see band three. Now, in Archibald and Waikato DHB, this case was a little bit different because we had an employee that was actually going through a redundancy process, their redundancy and them being made redundant was actually deemed justified. But the problem was that the process itself was not handled properly. So this wasn't about an unjustified dismissal in the sense of it being like a sham redundancy. It was a genuine redundancy, but the employee was not adequately engaged with regarding maybe redeployment opportunities. And because of that, they felt quite deeply hurt by their employer's actions. And this placed them in the middle of band two, and they got $20,000 in compensation. So you may be sitting there going, what about the actual reasons of how these people fall into the different bands? How is each band actually assessed? Well, that Rechora case, we saw an adoption of a five-step method or a five-step approach to assessing the amount that should be awarded to employees, that remedy. So the first one was around the harm that was actually experienced. So what are we talking about? Are we talking about mental harm? Are we talking about physical harm? Has there actually been no harm? Has it caused them no stress? What was the extent of the actual loss? Did they lose commissions and bonuses? And maybe they lost dignity in general, things that are not necessarily monetary related. Maybe they were unable to find employment for a set amount of time and they found it quite hard to readjust back into a workplace. And then the next one is, where on the spectrum of cases does this sit in terms of the harm suffered? The courts will then go back and look at, okay, when we're looking at harm up here in a band three, and we're saying that this employee has been bullied time and time again, we've got evidence and we've got text messages, we've got social media posts about them, maybe there's cyberbullying involved, maybe they've been taunted in the workplace. We've got all of this. Where does that sit in terms of harm? And where does that sit in terms of harm in other cases? And then the fourth one is, where on the spectrum of cases does this case sit in terms of quantum? So in terms of money, if we go back and look at the other cases, where does this one sit? If we've got a case here that's saying $50,000 because redundancy, but the employee was ill-treated, they weren't consulted with, they were bullied, they were targeted in the workplace, it was not a genuine redundancy. I'm just making up a lot of different factors here that could maybe fall into that band three. But if we're looking at that, and if the courts are looking at that, then they might go, okay, if that case got 50K and this case is way worse, then where does this one land? So the fifth one is, was this a fair and just award in that case? So back then, you know, and I say back then, meaning like 2017, 2015, 2014, we saw a lot of cases coming out. And I wanted to give you an understanding of how the compensation was paid in all these different cases. Now, I haven't gone into detail about them. I just wanted to throw out some figures and throw out some understanding. For example, we had a store manager that was constructively dismissed, and her constructive dismissal was $25,000. Whereas we have a employee that was constructively dismissed and their award was $20,000. And we have a taxi driver, for example, that had their hours changed from a day shift to a late shift. They weren't given any proper consultation. There was no consent from the employee. That employee got awarded compensation of $15,000. So you can see here how it is changing. So you've generally got things sitting in that lower end, or you've got them sitting in the band two for the most part. But in 2024, where are these bands headed? What have we seen? Well, in a 2023 case, the employee, which they've named as GF, and NZ Customs went to the employment court, where there was an unjustified dismissal of an unvaccinated port worker. The chief judge at the employment court said that there has definitely been an increase in the quantum or the amount of compensatory awards when it comes to hurt and humiliation under that section 123 of the Employment Relations Act. So what does this all mean? Well, it's all another way of saying that the compensation amounts have actually increased, and we can see there being a pattern of increase over the last few years. Since that 2018 Archibald case, we can definitely see the amounts going up and up. So with that said, the chief judge in that case said that the compensation bans were set over 5 years ago. We're talking a long time ago, and there has definitely been inflation since then. So because of that, the compensation bans will need to change. And this is what the bans have now changed to. Band one, again, is for low-level loss or damages. That ranges from zero all the way up to $12,000. So we've seen a slight increase there. Where we've seen the biggest impact is actually on band two and three. So on band two, which is the mid-range, we see $12,000 to $50,000. That's a $10,000 increase. For band three, we see high levels of loss and damages with anything over $50,000 in compensation. If we have at least some sort of criteria to work with, then it also can help with settling things outside of court, because keep that in mind as well. Not everything goes to the authority level or to the court level. Very rarely do things go to the court level. In terms of the authority level, we're talking about most cases settling at mediation. So they're not really going to make it all the way to the authority. But when you're looking at settling outside of that situation, then you need some sort of framework. And usually we'll look at cases or some sort of indication. And that's where these bans can be helpful. Now, what have we seen since this increase? This year, we saw a groundbreaking case. It was Parker and Magnum Hire. This case was about an award being made at the authority level and how this could actually be a deviation from what we would have normally seen for an award being received by an employee for hurt and humiliation. If you've heard about it, then it's going to be fine. But if you haven't heard about it, and I've just mentioned to you before that cases are settling for $25,000, $15,000. Please hold on to your seats, everyone. The authority awarded this employee $105,000 for hurt and humiliation. Yes, that is right. $105,000 for hurt and humiliation. And it was because there were three personal grievances that were actually raised by the employee. So there were three grievances. The first one was unjustified actions, which caused a disadvantage. The other one was another unjustified action causing disadvantage. So the first one was for bullying. That was $50,000. The second one was for suspension, and that was $5,000. And then the third one was for the constructive dismissal, which was $50,000. So the court has taken an approach here where each isolated grievance was looked at, and that's why they all in total amounted to $105,000. So why was the amount so high? I think that this is where we can look at how this would apply to an employer, a HR professional, even an employee, how this would apply in this case. Firstly, if you're looking for a higher band award or compensation, and you're looking at something like this Parker and Magnum Hire case, you need to really be able to show that there has been a huge impact, and I'm talking massive, to you, your livelihood, maybe your mental health, your physical health. And in this particular case, this is the threshold that the courts are looking at if you're looking at that higher compensation amount. The courts are saying that in this case, in this Parker case, the employee suffered significant emotional harm. And it's not just, oh no, I don't feel so great. this is really affecting me. It's not that. There has to be evidence to really show that there is a very clear issue between what the employee has gone through and the lasting impacts that it may have had, or what has come up as a result of being in that particular role or having to deal with that. For example, in this Parker case, the employee developed depression, anxiety, and symptoms that were very similar to PTSD as a result of how he was treated by the director of the company, basically by his circumstances as being in the company. You can see that the third band, to get there needs to be quite a significant amount of evidence. I know that when I was dealing personally with constructive dismissal cases, what we really needed to show at the authority level was medical certificates or recommendations from the doctors or medical opinions from the doctor to say that the employee has progressively gotten worse or that there has actually been some sort of harm to them at a particular date. And usually that date will correlate or coincide with the dates that they had started really experiencing a heavy amount of maybe bullying in the workplace or that they were being mistreated or disadvantaged. That's usually what needs to be shown, as well as witness accounts and all of those different things. But it's not just a matter of, like I said, I'm not feeling that great. Oh, this is really impacting me. It's usually that there needs to be really severe cause for harm when it comes to hurt and humiliation and injury to feelings. Now, when we're looking at the lower bands in terms of how much loss has been made or anything like that, you can see that $5,000 for the suspension fell into that first band. And again, with this one, we're usually looking at maybe a termination that might have been made on the spot and there was lack of process, procedural defects there. Maybe there hasn't been a genuine reason, but we're not looking at a targeting of the employee or anything to actually go above and beyond. So what I would say to employers taking this and kind of walking away from this today, just keep this in mind. If you ever have to deal with a personal grievance, it is the worst thing to have to deal with as an employer, as a HR professional. I absolutely understand, and as well as an employee. But if you're running your business and you're trying to deal with a personal grievance, then just remember these banded approaches. Since that 2023 case that set out these new bans, we have definitely seen approximately about 15 cases or 20 cases, I think, adopting this new approach. And this Parker and Magnum Hire case is a perfect example. So keep that in mind. All I can say for you, because I don't really have any practical tips in the sense of implement this into your business or anything like that, all I can say to you is walk away and have a think about this in the sense of this is a new approach adopted by the system. If you ever have a question, if you're ever dealing with a personal grievance, then you know exactly where these fall in terms of what might have happened if there was a procedural defect all the way through to bullying or maybe harassment in the workplace. Well, that is it for me, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in. Like I said, do not miss out on any key insights. Please feel free to reach out, follow me on LinkedIn, send me a message. I'm super friendly, I promise. And please feel free to subscribe and follow the podcast. Also, happy Easter to everyone that's celebrating. Thank you so much, everyone. Have a lovely day, night, evening, wherever you are, and I'll catch you in the next one, everyone.